Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Stage Right Podcast. I'm Carlos Estevez, and along with my co-host, Chris McCone, we will talk about life on the road, share advice, stories, perspectives, and help deepen your understanding of everything tour. So on today's episode, we're sitting down for a chat with Dave Delaney, longtime friend and drummer for the band Pacific Dub. How you doing, dude?
Good. Excited to be here. Excited you guys are doing this podcast.
And of course, today we have our special co-host, Stella. Rocking in the frame.
All up on this thing, dude. All up on it. She's the producer, to be honest.
Exactly.
She kind of keeps an eye on the show and makes doggy decisions.
Check stage.
Yeah, dude. She's stage manager.
Oh.
Good stage manager.
Good, Stella.
But yeah, dude, how's summer been in this crazy, crazy year we've been having?
Oh.
For you. And like, dude, what you've been doing? Tell us what happened this year. What affected you?
Oh, all of it, right? Just slowly, gradually losing my mind in isolation, like all of us, right? And yeah, dude, it's weird. It has been some wild, you know, all of us, I think, can relate that you're just so used to being gone and like working. And it was just a yearly roll around. It was just normal, what you were used to. Now for this whole year to go by, and you're kind of sitting around trying to stay busy, and, you know, Pacific Dub, or at least recording music, which I'm sure a lot of bands are, but it's, you know, what do you do with it? How do you release it? There's no touring, you know? And
yeah, so you just put it in the vault or what? What have you guys been doing?
For now, I think that is the plan, is just kind of, you know, have the mindset of building up a full length's worth of music and vault it.
Okay.
And then I think in reality, we've discussed where things might be more in like an EP form or singles, but at least, you know, just stack up as much as you can and kind of feel things out. I think everyone is starting to kind of start releasing as well. So it's like you can kind of just fall into the pot and take guidance from what everyone else is kind of doing a little bit, you know?
Got you. Okay, man. Yeah.
Feels weird.
Good to see you, dude.
I know, dude.
I just realized I've known you for quite a while now.
And I want to say, did it start with the Expendables?
Yeah, I was doing front of house for the Expendables. I want to say it was the spring tour 2013 or something like that.
Sounds about right.
It seems like everything starts there for you, Loves, with the Expendables.
Dude, they are a big part of my history, man. I love those guys and super grateful for the opportunity they gave me. I can't say enough good things about all those dudes.
Yeah, so how did you guys start out with P-Dub?
Oh, man, it's funny how that now goes all the way back to high school. You know, and I'm 30 years old now. And
welcome to the 30 club, dude.
That's right. The old boys, the dad.
Yeah.
Club. Yeah. We started when I was like 19. And I was the oldest member. The boys were 17. They were literally still in high school. I had just graduated.
So you were the weird one hanging out with the young kids.
Yeah. Oh, they remind me, right? Like, you were the old guys. Like, I was a year older, 2 years older.
That's like such a big difference. So when you're at a younger age, you're like, man, that guy's way cooler than me because he's a year older than me.
Let me just get off of the local community college and meet you guys for band practice.
Yeah. But, damn, he's in college already, man.
Yeah. I'm almost old enough to buy beer, boys.
Dude, those were the days.
Oh, absolutely.
Nah, these are the days.
Yes, I agree. And what a long way we've come. And
I remember that when I was buying beer from like the one kid who would do it behind the liquor store.
Oh, yeah. We had a guy who would, he worked at the local grocery store. I think he was of age, I'm not sure, but he would fill up his trunk with booze. So you'd have to go meet this guy like behind Ralph's. And he'd pop the trunk and be like, what do you want? And of course, like, you know, you'd be paying something crazy, like $50 for a little bottle of Jack Daniels or something.
Oh, my God, dude. We always found, like, the sketchiest, just darkest little gas station. And, like, those people, for some reason, were like, yeah, we'll sell to you guys.
Oh, You could use the business, dude.
Dude, it's all about the biz. You could
use the business. Yeah,
the hustle.
Yeah.
Remember the first time I tried to buy beer without a license, without like a proper ID because I wasn't of age?
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I'll have what he's having after the guy ordered next to me. The lady goes, I'm going to need to see your license, sir. And I was like, oh, shit.
I'll have what he's having, boys.
Yeah.
Play the old dad card on that.
That's yeah. a good one, dude. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, great.
Did not work well.
Great adolescent years. And dude, for us, I mean, just to throw it in there, it's funny to think of like the guys like Iration and you're like Expendables crew. And like to see us, like those guys saw us in our purest form.
Oh, dude.
Just 17, 19 years old, running around with diapers on practically.
When did you first meet those guys, both Iration and Expendies?
My goodness, dude. I feel like it goes a long way back for sure. And I think it really starts with RP. If you guys ever met
yeah.
RP Robert.
Yeah. yeah. Hawaii. RP. Yeah, yeah totally.
Yeah. Good dude. Because I feel like he is. And you know what? Like there definitely would not have been the start, I think, of Pacific Dub without him involved.
Oh, I did not know you that. Wow. No shit.
Yeah, he was a big part of like the Santa Barbara, Isla Vista music scene at the time, which was, you know, Iration, Revolution, guys like that playing out of the frat houses out there, just out on like Ivy. I'm trying to think of the name of the road. There was this really popular street where everyone would play. So, of course, as a young band, you think like, oh, that's it. That's the House of Blues right there, dude, you know, yeah. like. Playing a frat house out there where all the big guys play. So RP, he hooks us up. He gets us set up with someone, puts us up on a show. And I think the first band we ever played with on that echelon, we were so young. And all the bands were so young, right? Like even the bands who are so large today. So we played with Soja. We played a frat house with Soja. And I just couldn't have been more of a greenhorn. I think of it to this day. Everything that you could do wrong is like the new guy.
Tell me about that. Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, baby. Please. I think I remember like, you know, asking to just, can I practically use the whole drum kit?
Oh my God. You know, like. You did
it. I don't think I brought, of course, dude. And we're talking Bird from Soja.
Oh.
You know, one of the like great drummers of our genre. And I'm like, hey, dude. And I'm 19, dude. I'm like, I'm a kid. I've never done a big boy show, really. And so I'm just like, oh, can I use this? Can I use that? He was so nice and so chill to me when really, he really should have just been like, dude, come on, like pull it together. And I remember him saying something along the lines of like, hey, like this is cool. But you know, next time, you know, bring your gear.
Yeah.
Do something like that. They made a green room for those guys because this was a big frat house. So they made like a green room. And there was like a cooler full of beer for these guys. And you know, like if there's not a sign on the door or on the cooler, then who knows the rules, right? And so, of course, over the decade time where you learn like, hey, this is a green room. This is not yours. These beers are not yours. There doesn't need to be a sign on it, you know?
Yeah.
But back then, I think I remember absolutely walking in. They're all hanging out in there. I didn't know at all what it was. I think I cracked the cooler open. I think I grabbed a beer.
Oh.
Oh, just the brass on this kid. I'm sure they thought, like, who is this dude?
Ah, dude.
You're just, like, innocent and young.
But you're good
knowing.
Vibes, though. So, dude, you can get away with it. You know, people take a liking to you. You're like, okay, man.
And we have played with them a handful of times now since then. So, yeah. You know, I think it's so true for so many young bands. They come in, you're new, right? And you understand to have patience for them.
Totally.
Just like people had patience for you.
Yeah, you got to remember everyone started out somewhere, man, and so did you. And
Oh yeah, yeah. And they don't know. You just don't know the unwritten rules yet. You don't understand where, you know, people shouldn't. The TM should not have to say that this is our room and our beers only. But you learn that. You learn like, okay, this is not my. Yeah, this is not my zone. This is the rules of how it goes. And then someone like Colin. You know, God bless Colin, dude. That guy was around since day one.
Dude, that guy has infinite amounts of patience.
Unreal. And he's also the person who has like...
But I've seen him throw a sack of bagels to a drone also.
He fucking took down my drone.
Santa Barbara Bowl.
With a sack of bagels.
A stack.
Dude.
Took down my brand new drone.
Oh. Fresh.
That guy has always been nothing but the nicest dude, but just he was a good sensei.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely was that guy who would tell us like, hey guys, like, come on, like, let's get it together here. Let's step it up. Let's be not a couple of teenagers fucking around here, you know?
But when he fucks up is when he forgets the Philly cream cheese.
Oof.
And that's inexcusable.
Heavy. Yeah, dude. They keep him around after something like that. Are you kidding me?
Okay. So what do you put on your bagel, dude? Is it like, what kind of cream cheese you go with? Do you get funky? You go classic, strawberry?
I'm a funky
You're
boy.
You're a funky dude.
Because I want umami in the bagel. Ooh. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I want to touch every corner of the palate. And so I know people will call me crazy. But I'm saying you start off, your boy needs to start off with a good hot, like sweet bagel, right?
Okay.
So I go for a cinnamon raisin kind of guy.
Oh, all day.
Respect.
But see, we're just touching on the forefront of this umami suplex we're putting down on this bagel, okay? Because then I'm going to need that cream cheese to cut through the sweet, but I want it to be like jalapeno cream cheese.
Holy shit.
Spice it up a bit here, boys, okay?
Balance it out.
Balance it out, because I want sweet. I want heat.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's not too much we're asking for here.
No.
No,
not at all. Now, if I'm feeling wild and crazy, you could potentially throw some lox on that bagel.
Whoa.
Okay. You put a little lox on there too. I mean, we're connecting continents here. It's like Pangea on a bagel at this point, guys.
Hey, man, I'm really open-minded to trying new flavors.
Right?
So.
And you throw some capers on there and people are going to just think you're Ernest Hemingway. They're going to think you're educated. You put some capers on a bagel. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But when I'm in public, like if I'm with you boys, if I'm with a pretty lady, I might not even do the jalapeno cream cheese. I don't want to scare people off. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
No, yeah.
First morning date?
I take an egg bagel with low-fat cream
Classic.
Cheese just to let her know I mean business, you know?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm looking out for myself. I'm looking out for that health with the 2% cream cheese.
So what's your thought on the strawberry cream cheese? Because that's Los and my like big bugaboo.
Oh, really?
Big fight.
Where we butt heads.
I'd like to think I might be able to throw a curveball in here because not a huge fan of it on the bagel, right? You put some strawberry cream cheese on a warm croissant, though. And I mean, we're talking
shit.
Business.
But a croissant's, you know, we're talking different physics
now.
You
can't fuck with the croissant,
right,
man. Chocolate croissant's got to stay a chocolate croissant. I'm out. I'm out on that one. No cream cheese.
Oh, okay, but chocolate. I thought you were saying you were out on the chocolate.
No. I'm out on the cream cheese on the croissant.
Come on. Now, when I'm going across the street to the donut shop, the little old lady donut shop by my house, they have the secret menu. You know what I mean? You got to be an old timer.
Locals
going in there. Exactly.
Yeah.
She lets you know. It's the cream cheese bagel, which they make their own bagel. Phenomenal. Okay. But they put the bacon. They put bacon on the cream cheese bagel, like in between. So you got the three slices of
bacon.
That's
a treat.
And they're, oh.
So it holds together.
Perfection.
It's simple physics.
It's Neil deGrasse Tyson himself would be lost. After just seeing and eating this bagel, dude, just the cosmos open wide to him, dude. Like, oh, treat yourself.
Dude. Those people see things on a whole different level.
And it
man.
Starts with bagels with bacon and cream cheese on them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we might start a bagel club and, you know, see where
it goes. I do have to call out Philly, though.
Okay.
Because I got their smoked salmon cream cheese. And it was...
Okay, that's what I was expecting you to say.
It was terrible.
Yeah. It sounds like it would be.
But Los and I love smoked salmon on a bagel.
Sure.
With some original Philly cream cheese.
But mixing...
But
like,
when it's put into one... Ugh,
why bother?
Good,
why man. bother. That's so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. What were you doing,
well,
Philly?
So, I mean, I want to loop back around then. What are your guys' thoughts on the strawberry cream cheese? Where do you guys lie on that?
I don't want it.
I've got it in the fridge right now.
The fridge? Okay. I was wondering who here was the advocate for
the it's in my fridge.
That thing is taking up way too much fridge space. On
no,
this
I got my I got my cinnamon raisin.
Go.
I got my Philly strawberry cream
You're
cheese.
A goddamn sweet tooth.
Yeah.
You crazy bastard. You're probably putting nerds on top of those things too, aren't you?
Just crushed nerds.
Yeah. See, I get that.
I've seen him do it.
Now, if you told me it was like an everything bagel or an onion bagel with some strawberry cream cheese, I could probably get behind that.
No, dude, Thomas International, cinnamon raisin.
We usually go everything bagel for our writer, yeah. Everything bagels.
Oh, that's good. Everything bagels? Oh, yeah.
But they're messy, though. They're messy. They get everywhere, you know?
That's really, I think you guys need to shift this podcast and pivot, and really what this needs to be is just a bagel podcast. We'll discuss the flavors, the tries. Oh,
we definitely need like a little like a bagel hour in the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
With a little in, with
we just start. You start every episode with at least bringing a bagel to the table.
With some intro music made by Lowe's.
Yeah, maybe we can work it into the logo.
I hope so. I hope so.
Shit, man. Ugh. So what was the last, did you guys get to tour this year or like do many shows?
Dude, no. I think that was into the new year. God, no touring when the year started. We had done our last tour with Through the Roots. And that was
in 2019.
Yeah. Or? Yeah. I'd hate to be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure it was before the holiday season. We were talking like August, maybe.
So, oh man, so a long time.
Yeah, you know, and well, you know, you go into the new year, and I feel a lot of the time with the Pacific Dub process is that you're thinking, okay, well, we have a new year coming up, so let's see what's out there, let's see what's available, who's putting on some tours, you know, what can we get involved with, and so that's for sure when I feel like a lot of things get lined up right there in the beginning of the year. Yeah. Fans are feeling it, bands are feeling it. You guys are feeling, all of us are feeling it, where all these plans were just getting made, you know, and it just like that, when of course the pandemic started and all that, you're just like, okay, well now you keep pushing it. Well, are we going to play that show in July? You know, they haven't said anything, like no one's really talking about it. And so you keep waiting and waiting, and then, okay, no, it's done. And we even have something coming up in October. But in a more realistic sense, it's like, well, I think we're all pretty prepared for that not to happen. But you don't know. We don't know. And so now you're kind of just stringing along, waiting, wondering. And you're hoping, right? Because it's like I'm on the side of the fence where I am for trying to be responsible.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of bands, I think all bands in our genre are hoping to take that stance, because the more proactive we are now, we hope that it can all be done faster. But it sucks because you're just in that zone where it's like, man, I would love to play a show. I would love to be on stage and play a festival or something, man. And you don't want to give in to the machine of like, if a festival does say, well, let's do it, let's go ahead and do it. And you're like, ugh. When do we draw the line at that point?
Yeah, Los and I were just talking about that, like the worry of if you do play a show, like how careful is everyone going to be? Are you going to be like responsible for infecting people? Like all that stuff, you know?
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
And these are people that more than likely you work with on the norm. You see these people, even if it's someone working for another band who's on the festival lineup. Yeah. So it'd be heartbreaking to affect anyone that we all know so personally.
Yeah, it's definitely something to figure out, man. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's going to change things for sure, you know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I guess that's what we all have to do is.
Yeah. Just take it day by day. And,
yeah. You start, if anyone steals this fucking idea, I'm coming for you. I'm saying this right now, all right? Whoever's listening, whoever's watching, I will find you. But all I got to do is you just like, we're going to take from Spectrum or Time Warner, or whoever your cable provider is when it comes to live sports, and you're just going to do regional live streams. And you're going to say, hey, You know, people in Florida, you buy tickets for this live stream we're doing on Saturday. It's only available to IP addresses in the Florida area. Everyone else gets blacked out. And then you also become the devil because that's what Spectrum does. And it's super shitty to do to people. But, you know, you're right. It's just I'm very curious to see, like we were just saying, the evolution. Either things will get really weird and have to continue to get weird, or everything's just going to go right back to normal. Hopefully soon, you know.
I don't think we'll ever hit normal. I think it's just a reset. It's going to be a reinvention of, honestly, a lot of these mass gatherings as like a society. It's going to be like a whole different environment to try to navigate.
And getting people to want to like gather now in huge mass like that.
I don't want to gather. I don't want to be at a concert right now. Right? Fuck no.
No, with someone right next to you, a stranger.
Dude, I'm getting pissed off at the grocery store. Like, we went to the mall, and I'm pissed off at people without masks on, you know? Let alone a concert, shoulder to shoulder.
You know?
Yeah, it's embarrassing, dude. People that are just proud to not wear a mask outside. And
it's makes me hate people so much more. It's tough. It's like, fuck.
I know. It's tough, dude, you know? I'm sure there's someone out there who's going to listen to this and think, like, oh, man, you don't know, or whatever. But it's tough. I feel like it's something so minimal to be asked.
Oh, for sure.
You know? So minimal. And so it's turned into such a very wild kind of tantrum. And that's what I think we're all a little annoyed
and
by.
Just as a PSA, our good friend on my other podcast, Jimmy G, was an anti-masker. So he went to Vegas for a party. Yeah. And he got COVID.
And I think I remember hearing
that. And said it was the
that.
Worst thing he's ever experienced in his life. He was literally having fever hallucinations, standing on his couch trying to dodge speedboats.
Jesus, man. Right,
so, dude. Just fucking wear the mask. And now he wears a mask.
Right. And I've luckily met him only a handful of times in passing, especially at shows and festivals. And the dude's all, you know, opinions aside, has always been just a very solid
and
dude.
He's always been very nice. He's one of my best friends. Jimmy G, I love you if you're listening. I know you aren't, but.
Yeah.
He's got other things to do. Are you kidding me?
You hope he is, but probably not.
We love you, Jimmy.
And that's why it's unfortunate to hear it sucks to hear that happened to him. And it's something that seems, you know, so minimal in the sense, not a dig at him by any means, but if you just wore the mask, let me kind of hold myself there, not to imply that just wearing a mask was going to save him from any of that. But
he may have been licking a hooker's ass with cocaine on it, so, you know.
Okay. Well, you know what? Sign me up for the COVID at that point, right? If that's what it takes, sign me up. Screw it. You know? C'est la vie.
Hey. They say the survival rate's pretty good. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd love to be on the road just bullshit. Just even laughing like this right now and kind of like talking with you guys, it like just makes you even crave more being back on the road. And it reminds you of,
that's good to hear, dude.
Right? It reminds me of the end of the night. Like it reminds me when you're all kind of done and wrapping up and you'll have a chance to
I think
let
that's
loose.
A good feeling that we want to give. I think that's the right vibe here.
I gotta say,
just the post show hangout.
Absolutely. Carlos, dude, I feel like that's such a huge part of our relationship. Where I just remember, you know, you were with the Expendables. And I always was, you know, I'm lucky enough to, you know, play the drums and I'm on the stage and I'm one of the guys up there. But it's like, I feel like you get to this point as a young musician, touring musician, where you start to realize that, like, you know, the crew are these, like, very essential members of the team here, right? And there's so much to be learned. So I felt like I would really start to gravitate where it's like, dude, I want to really get to know like what's going on here. You know, if I can give a helping hand, even if I'm just kind of understanding more of like the rundown of say cable management or just putting things away. And so I feel like
my
biggest
pet peeve.
We would kick it like at the end of the night. I feel like you'd be putting stuff away. If I could be mistaken, like DB might have been around back in the day a bit as well.
He was, yeah.
So it'd like be breaking down gear. And it would kind of be like, hey, like, if I can help these guys break down a bit, then they get done sooner, which I know is going to end up with us probably going to smoke a little bit or having a drink. And, like, there was just something about creating, like, that bond with other people, whether they're in the other band or they're part of the crew. it's just kind of nice when, like, it's like summer camp. You're, like, trying to make up excuses. Like, dude, I'll help you do the dishes right now so we can all go smoke right now, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I miss that.
Yeah, I remember you helping me for a couple shows, actually. Yeah, like, putting drums away because I usually take care of the drums for most of the bands I've worked with somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
I end up taking care of drums. But, yeah, dude, I think that's how we started, like, bonding and obviously, like, hanging out post-show and, like, have a smoke and, dude, hang out. Yeah, and talk music and fucking food, of course.
Oh, dude. Long time ago.
Yeah, and you guys have always also been, like, great about being accommodating to stage setups and, like, not complaining, man. Like,
sure,
I love that about
all,
you guys.
All of PETA up for sure. Like, Colton, too, you know.
Yeah.
Beauty.
I love to hear that because it's such a learning experience. And I, again, I'm sure everyone goes through it where, again, you're young, you're starting this band. Now you're finally playing some shows. Maybe you get to go on tour with a band that you listened to growing up. So now you're kind of like among these idols, if you will. And that, like, I feel like you're given no other choice. Like, you are given a choice because you have these great role models. I feel like, you know, King with Iration, Colin with Iration, these guys who they're so nice. They mean so well, but they were put in a position where they had to also be the stage manager. You know, they had to be the ones to say, like, hey, dude, you cannot do this.
Right.
You know, like, and say, especially as a drummer, when you usually would share a drum kit and you might be using, and you really learn where it's like, hey, of course the adjustments you need to make can be managed, but you're going to do everyone here a favor if you can really just manage to play this kit as is.
Yeah.
No one necessarily wants the opener to have to come on and make adjustments and change the toms around and, you know, the heights of the cymbal stands. Which is fair, don't get me wrong, that people do it and that sometimes you have to do it. But in my mind, and I think with Pacific Dub too, where we're like, you know what, dude, like, we're stoked to be here. We're going to play a bitchin' show. We're with some of our great friends that we've made over the years. The least we can do is try and make the least of an imprint, the most minimal footprint on that stage. You know, like, just...
Nah, dude, just be a team player and you guys are all about that. A lot of people in this, you know, this whole reggae scene, I feel like that's the vibe.
For sure.
Not a lot of ego in a good way.
That's the thing. Not a lot. Yeah. You guys have no ego, I feel like. You guys are all just so sweet.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you again. I think we strived for that. I look back when we're younger as teenagers. It makes me cringe sometimes because you are maybe, like, you're young and you're ignorant. And it does take a little time for you to humble yourself and then, you know, realize. And so now it's like, I love that we're all... Yeah, I love that all of us, everyone, whether it's Iration, you guys, us, Expendables, other bands, we're all just getting old.
Oh, dude, it's good to get old, man.
We're just getting old now, dude.
Hey, I'm still 20.
Yeah, Chris is still... I'm still 20. He's in his mid-20s.
Join us. 26, you son of a bitch. I'm looking at you right now through Zoom. You could have told me you're 36.
Thanks, asshole.
And I've been like, yeah.
Look at that beard,
you're
man.
Just distinguished. You got a distinguished look.
It's all the... Hair,
it's that dude. Red beard.
Yeah, that ginger beard.
Saying. Jeez. Look at me. I'm a child over here. I look like a baby. how old are you getting now, Carlos?
I'm 31, dude. It's
okay.
Wait,
cool.
He's lying. He just told me he was 41 yesterday, so.
I believe it.
Yeah, some days I feel 41 for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But some days, most days, 21.
You know what I just thought about? Because we brought up the Expendables and kind of meet you back then. And I feel like right in that time zone, you were working with a band, Santa Cecilia. Was that their name?
Yeah, that is correct.
How long ago was that?
I love those guys.
That was
I started working with them in 2013, I want to say.
Okay, right around, that would be right around that time then. Yeah,
I think it's right around when we met, yeah. And yeah, I was working on and off with them till about 2016, I think. Dude, what a wild ride with them, dude. Seeing them, like, just grow to be a successful band and win a Grammy and, dude, great music. Such a pleasure to mix those guys and travel with. And it's actually one of the few bands that I've, like, tour managed and different house for.
Yeah. Nice little change too, right? From so much of, say, like the Expendables world or the reggae rock world that we were in.
Yeah, it's always to have a nice different change of pace, man. And that was a good dive into the Latin world, which, you know, I had never really gotten to be a part of until I toured with him. You know,
that's pretty cool.
Besides doing like gigs here in Miami and stuff, but like tour wise, yeah.
Hell
Shout out to La Santa Cecilia. If you haven't heard their music, you should. Also check out Pacific Dub.
And for anyone listening, Belos is also one of the best front of house guys I've ever heard. So,
ah, dude, thanks,
you're not
man.
Wrong.
He really is.
You're not wrong.
Even though he's monitor focused, he can fucking mix a mean front of house.
The best ones are.
Dude, I just try not to like enclose myself into one job, man. You know,
which is
like
good.
You, Chris. Chris can do fucking guitar tech, bass tech, keyboard tech, run tracks. Dude, the guy does it all.
That's all stage stuff.
Still though, on other tours, man, there's like four people for all those jobs.
That's
you know
fair.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I can also mix a mean like dual person corporate event, like two speakers on a stage in a breakout room.
Making it too easy now.
Dave, what are some of your favorite venues, dude, that you've played? Let's do top three favorite venues around the country.
Top
like.
Three, dude. Of course, that's like so tough now. Like we're right up at. Okay, first thing that came to mind. First venue, I guess. I feel like it's not anything crazy, but I always have just such such a great time at the Culture Room in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh. Wow. Yeah.
It's like
great place, man.
From day one since we'd ever been there.
Tiny green room.
Yeah.
Kind of shitty.
It's got character.
No
it's got character.
It's got character though, yeah.
Oh, I'll tell
100%.
You. 100%. I'll tell you there's a small bathroom in that green room, all right? You have enough guys run through that bathroom. You know what I'm saying? You remember. You remember. But
I know.
You have this fun venue that always has, at least personally for us, like a great turnout.
Absolutely.
You know, it's this very fun, like the fan base is there. The team that works there, the crew, have always been not only so nice to us, but these, you know, like when people just genuinely like remember you.
Right.
You know, and then that means that you genuinely remember them.
Totally.
You know, like these guys who've worked there for so long, they're like, Dave, man, it's good to see you guys again. Last time I saw you was with the Expendables, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, I'm humbled that you like even remember that much, you know? We're just another band.
Yeah.
Know?
I think crews around the country usually get stoked when a reggae act comes into town.
Mellow.
As having worked as like a production manager in a venue and seeing all types of bands and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember, actually, that's the first time I met the Aeration guys. It was like 2011. I just remember, man, what a good crew. That was such a cool, easy day, you know?
Right.
And there was other days with, you know, not so easy, so.
I guess that's true, right?
I think it's the sentiment stays the same, you know? I always try to remember that for sure.
Yeah, and it shows, you know? It makes me stoked to come back to a place like that, you know?
Culture Room has such a good crew, dude, for sure.
And then, I mean, the utmost respect. I think I can find comfort in knowing that the owner of Culture Room is not listening to this podcast.
Not yet.
If he is, though, I want to start off by saying that I love the Culture Room. It's a phenomenal venue. We all should always continue to go there and support it. With that being said, I love that he's like a 1980s Tales from the Crypt vampire.
Totally.
Like he's got,
it's a vibe.
He's got like the long hair and like you'd think he's.
And he runs the lights.
Yes. And he's up in his little like perch up in like the corner.
Yes. Yeah.
And you just see him up there like a wizard working these knobs and like he looks like something out of just an 80s horror movie. But again, amazing dude. Nothing but nice.
Totally.
But when he's up there, he's just the crypt keeper, you know?
Dude, he's the master of his hair, bro.
He has the green room full of photos of him and these bands that come through.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I'm telling you...
Tell people about
I'm telling you that man does not age. He's a vampire.
He's looked the same for like decades.
The entire photos. So,
I've been going to the Culture Room for almost three decades. And
you get it.
The dude looks the same. Two decades.
So all I'm saying is Nosferatu, we're on to you, brother. Okay? We know what you're doing over there.
The guy's got the fountain of youth. All right, dude. So other two venues. We got such into a segue.
With the culture room. Come on.
Into the culture room. It's got character, like you said. Right. You know, we got to talk about
it. I feel like a cheap, easy, like underhand pitch from me would be to say the Observatory in Orange County.
Yeah,
totally.
Because that is our like
great place.
It's a hometown venue. Another venue where people just treat you in such this kind of family manner. So you're like, you're so excited.
It's sad they're bought now because they were independent for a long time, and that was the fire management.
Yeah. And they ended up with Live Nation.
But still, shout out Turtle.
Oh, got to shout out Turtle. That guy's been
shout
there
out Turtle.
Since the beginning, dude.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, dude.
Make sure.
Love you, Turtle.
I'm forced to listen.
Forced.
But
we don't force anyone to listen.
but also,
that's right.
But also, please listen.
Yeah.
Please.
And then third, dude, I mean, like, I feel like I'm trying to choose the venue for the venues, but a lot of the time location, of course, has so much to do with it.
Right? Yeah.
So of course you're going to say First Avenue, Minneapolis. I mean, I shouted out every
episode. Prince,
so.
Come on.
Every episode, this guy.
Hold on, there's the back venue,
7th
right?
7th Street. Let's go, baby.
7th Street entry.
Yeah.
7th Street entry. Okay, that we've been there maybe, I'd like to think, a pinch full of times.
Dude, the front of house is in a cage.
Yeah.
I remember one of my first tours, I went there and I was just like, wow.
What is this?
This is amazing. This is where Prince like made Purple Rain, dude.
And then he was in the big room.
But that's what's funny is Los and I, when we went there, you and I, for the first time, that was like my dream venue as a kid when I had a band, right?
Sure, of course.
And I know Los idolized it too, you know, having it be Prince's venue. And we were there and we were just like, fuck, man, this is so fucking small. Where the fuck are the lights going to go? It's like...
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. It's not as jazzy as they make it look in the movies. I think to wrap third, I was just going to throw out a lot of Expendables memories for me on tour with those guys would randomly be going through... New Orleans, House of Blues. Well, and you know what? I got to be honest here, too, is it was always, anytime I think we've ever been there, it's always been the Parish Room.
The Parish, yeah.
Yep.
That's a shitty room to mix in. Horrible.
It's a little wild. I wouldn't know about the mixing aspect, but in the sense that it's very oddly shaped, and there's, like, I believe, brick and wood involved, and it's just...
Yep. It's, like, the worst elements. Yeah. It's a short room.
Yes.
Not too wide. The front of house is all the way in the back to the left. House left, like horrible mix position. But yeah, the turnouts are usually really good there though. The load in is pretty shitty.
For sure.
Small stage.
It smells.
But
there's a hallway involved. Elevators.
Oh my god, elevator through the kitchen.
Through the kitchen. Yeah.
And to even get to the elevator to the kitchen, you got to go through their like back trash area. Oh,
yeah,
where, right?
Exactly.
It's but I'll tell you what,
dude.
That's the Big Easy, baby. That's why I'm
but,
there.
Yeah, you're like on the main street,
right?
Dude. You're down
and
you're, there.
That's all I want.
You know, and you're
I'm
having
saying?
A good night no matter what. You know that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, I think that was that tour with the Expendables where, yeah, I think we were with you guys and like bus call was at like 7 in the morning for us. And
yes. Oh, we all
dude,
went
I
out.
Came back to the bus at 7 in the morning.
We all went out and not only...
You were with us.
Yeah, we went crawling, my boy.
Yeah.
We went crawling.
Oh, man. That's right, dude. That was such an epic night, man. Wow.
I don't want to...
Different
wanna,
times.
I don't want to name names. So I don't want to throw anyone under a bus here.
No, we don't do that on the show.
No. But I remember a group of us.
A group of gentlemen.
We had made our way into a Bourbon Street strip club.
Did we?
And it was, to be honest too, I think it was really, again, Pacific Dub, we were young. This was years ago, right? And
dude.
We're probably freshly 21, 22, 23, whatever. And I know a lot of us had never been in a strip club. So I think that's like how it came up, where it was like, oh, like Pacific Dead, we've never been in a strip club. And so someone, Expendables, you know, the band and whoever was like, okay, we got to go in and take these boys in, right? We got to at least let them experience what it's like. And I just remember I'd never done it before. And you're like sitting up against like the main stage and this girl like doing the dance. And, you know, I didn't know any of the protocol, any of the rules. I didn't have any money. You know, the one big rule that you should know going in.
Totally.
And I just remember he who shall not be named. He just like just leans over and he's just like, "You cheap son of a bitch." And he broke out his wallet and he paid for it. Because I didn't know any better.
Oh,
you know?
That's a homie right there, man. No, that could be that's a good shout out, whoever
yeah,
that was.
Exactly. He was taking care of the tour. You know what I mean? It was his job to make sure we were all functioning.
Cracking a
full
cold
speed.
One for the boys.
For
and
sure.
So he was yeah.
Dude, that's what's up, man. Wow.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful times. Fucking Patterson, Adam Patterson, dude.
Oh,
like,
AP, man.
He's like, "Hey, man, before the show, like, we're done with sound check. You want to go around the corner, and I know this good spot that does oysters, and we can get some beers." And, you know, again, I'm a young guy, and our budget is pretty small in those days.
Yeah.
And so I let him know, and he's like, "You know what? Like, come with me. Dinner's on me." So it's like I can, Adam, sure. I swear, like he's got the foodie vibe in him. And once he found out that I was kind of into that, I feel like he was always just like, "Hey, like, let's go. Like, let's do a dinner. Let's do something."
You always find one, at least one person on tour that you're like, "Dude, let's go eat."
Shout out Carlos.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Me and Chris are like the foodies, dude.
You got all of these guys on tour. And most of the time people are going for ease or what's available. Or what's financially acceptable. And I feel like when you do find the foodies that are spackled throughout the groups, where you're like, "Bro, like, let's go. Like, are you in?
I know this like, place. Let's go."
Exactly. Yeah. Let's in, and they're down. You want to try something weird? Are you into trying something different? Boom, you go.
Dude, yeah.
And of course, Adam, I swear the guy ate like 3 dozen oysters before show.
Yep, I've seen
it. And
I
was just like, "This guy's a king. This guy's a king. How can you? He's living the life I only dreamed to have." You know?
He is a fucking king. I love that guy.
So, oh shit!
Fucking Orleans, New Orleans, baby.
Shout out to Shuck and Shack too.
Shuck and Shack?
You been there?
No.
Carolina Beach.
Oh man, that's a go-to spot.
Legendary place. We always end up having days off there.
And we end up doing. We go like four times a day. Like
yeah, you really end up spending like your weekly per diem and like the 2 days off you have there real quick.
Dude, I coming from Southern California, and then as we started touring and you start traveling more, I've always just had this ridiculous like Disney-esque idea of like the East Coast and like food, like seafood. You know, like crab cakes just get plucked off the trees. And like kind of shit like that. So it's like every time I go out in any of that area, it could be like the same price as out here. And someone could tell me like, "This really isn't anything special." But I'm like, "Oh no, like I'm eating oysters in Nag's Head. I'm eating crab cakes in Boston." Like you just, it feels different, you know?
It does, man.
Yeah, dudes. Thanks for like having me on. I'm stoked you guys are doing this. And, you know, I know right now you guys are, you know, having the homies on and it's fun to touch base with you guys, but if you guys start diving into the world of kind of, you know, teching or say drum stuff, I'd love to chime in with you guys and, you know, whoever else you might have on. So thanks again, guys. I really appreciate it.
Brother, thanks for coming on, man. Such a pleasure to have you on and spend time on here with you, dude.
Yeah, good to see you, man.
Yeah.
And
you guys,
yeah,
too.
We'll love to have you back on soon. Talk some gear, some drums, and maybe we'll have a couple other drummers. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm just going to be a talking head. It'll be like the Howard Stern show, and I'm just going to be like the Baba Booey off to the side here.
I love that. Dude, what a pleasure, man. Thanks, Dave.
Oh, yeah, guys. Thanks. Yes, sir. Until next time,
thanks, my
Dave.
Man.
Good to see
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You. Good to see you guys.
Big love. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to give us a like, subscribe, and a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and on Instagram @StageRightPodcast. Thank you. See you next week.